Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
Welcome to Catholic Baltimore. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and we're talking today with Vince Clues, author of the book Water Walkers, about 39 people who moved from secular careers to sacred service. Welcome to the program, Vince.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Thanks for doing that. Tell us a little bit about your background. What brought you to this point and writing this book, and where did you come from in the secular world?
Very good. When I finished, I taught for a year after I finished college at Frostburg. And then I went to Indiana State University in Terre Haute and got my master's degree in mass communications. And came back to Baltimore and took a job, was fortunate enough to be offered a job as a writer with Maryland Public Broadcasting before it even went on the air. And so I was there for 9 years. I became a producer, and I produced a series for PBS called Consumer Survival Kit. And one day realized I had a staff of about 30 people, realized I wasn't writing anymore. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a writer, so I left. And I began to freelance, and freelance mostly for public television corporations. Mm-hmm. And one of the jobs required incorporating, so I formed a production company, and for 25 years I had the business Vince Clues and Associates. Numerous clients, Fortune 500, one of them was Catholic Relief Services, and it is my favorite job that I did the whole time I had the company.
That's great.
I went around the world. It was a 50th anniversary piece showing what they were doing in development, not only feeding people, but in development. And then I decided I didn't want to have a business anymore. I wanted to be a writer. So once again, I left my own company and went back to writing, and I've been doing that since. I was writing mostly for corporations and trade associations and that sort of thing. And I got sick. I had congestive heart failure, and it was so bad I had to have a heart transplant. And through the mercy of the Lord, I survived it. But when I came out, I had lost most of my clients because it had been several years since I'd written. And so I started writing for myself. And I wrote the book Water Walkers and finished it earlier this year.
So what drew you to write a book about people who left secular careers to go to what you call sacred service? Some of them working for nonprofits, some of them responding to a religious vocation and becoming a priest, a sister, a deacon, a minister. What drove you to write that?
I was sitting moping one day because I didn't have any work. And my wife came in and said, maybe the Lord is asking you to finish something you started. And I had started the book several weeks before I had the heart transplant. I had a friend who he was my roommate in college, and he became the head of the drama department, fine arts department at Fordham. And he was called from there to go into the mission field. Mutual friend said to me one day, have you seen Dave recently? I said, no, I think he's at Fordham. And he said, no, he's a street preacher.
Wow, that's a big change.
So I got in touch with Dave, and I thought his story was interesting, so I started just charting it out. And about the same time, a friend of mine called me from Florida, who knew that I was interested in doing the book, and said, there's a woman here in our church you need to know about. And her name was Carol Diceslow. And Carol had left the newspaper business and a beautiful house she had. The Lord kept calling her, and she wouldn't do, to go become the mother of a house for homeless and abused women. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't go because she liked her house too much. She came home one day, and the house was burning to the ground. And she said, now I heard the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's what she did for the rest of her life. She died last December.
That's a rough wake-up call.
Yes, right? It is. So once I got that, I started I had a friend who was a nun, and she had been on Madison Avenue before she was called to the religious. And so I started probing, and I found out that I had some friends, and then people started telling me about other people, and that's how. Most of the people in the book I've never met.
Wow, wow. Well, why the title, Water Walkers? What does it mean for somebody to walk on water in the way that you're talking about in this book?
It comes down simply to Peter. Peter walked on water, only for several steps, of course, and then he took his eyes off the Lord and sank. But Peter had the courage and the faith is to step out of that boat onto the water and walk. And because he had that faith to listen, to go to where the Lord was and do what the Lord asked him to do, he walked on water. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the title comes from. There are people who stepped out of their secular careers in faith and served the Lord in sacred service. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we read that scripture passage and we say, well, Jesus can walk on water because he's Jesus. But I'm not Jesus. I can't walk on water. And I'm not Peter. I can't walk on water. How do people get the courage to do that?
That's what amazes me about these people. Mm-hmm. Where do you get the courage to do that? And it comes down to two things. They love the Lord, and they have complete faith in what he wants them to do. And so it wasn't hard to decide what it was that these people had done that made them water walkers.
What's the common thread that puts all of these people together? Is it just insane bravery? Is it just letting the Lord wear them down? What is it that does that?
Well, you know, it's faith. It's simply faith. It is accepting that the Lord has called them and having the faith to follow. And the Lord calls all of us, as people remind me, but I'm talking to vocational service in this book.
Right.
And that's what it is, simply this faith that the Lord wants to use them and they should make themselves available. The book is more, as I've been, recently I had to reread the book for there was a reason somebody asked me to. Mm-hmm. And I realized the book is really about the discernment process. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had said that in the book. Because it is that period, the book with each person deals with the period where they were going through a discernment process to decide, did the Lord call me? Because, you know, we hear voices sometimes and they aren't the Lord.
Yeah.
And what exactly is he asking me to do, and how do I do it? Do I do it? And so a lot of the book is about the discernment process. And Peter and Paul come into it, for Peter for the obvious reason that he stepped, you know, he is the water walker that I'm talking about. And Paul is an example. You know, the Lord just said, follow me, to Peter when he was walking along the shoreline. Mm-hmm. And Paul had to be knocked down and blinded. Mm-hmm. And the point is that the Lord, there is a continuum, and the Lord calls us in all sorts of ways to all sorts of service.
When you have somebody like Peter, who actually had been working against the purposes of the Lord, does it take longer? Is it a harder process?
You mean Saul?
Yes.
Paul. Yeah.
Paul. Yes.
Yeah.
Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So when we to have somebody like that turn around, does it take somebody in today's life who is really working at someplace other than what the Lord wants them to do, really working kind of against that? Is it harder for that person to turn the rudder and turn around, or if the right moment comes and the Lord calls at just the right moment, is it magical?
Well, nobody in the book was a Saul. That's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really fought it very hard. Carol Dicer Slow is the one who fought it the hardest, I believe, because she was so comfortable, she didn't want to leave her comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I believe that the Lord, you know, if I'm sure there are people out there I could have written about who had to go through a real trial for the Lord to do what the Lord wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, there are some people who went through some trials, but nothing like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like Saul.
Saul to become Paul. Good. Well, we're talking today with Vince Clues, author of Water Walkers, From Secular Careers to Sacred Service, 39 Stories of Faith. and we're going to talk to him after the break about some of the Catholics featured in his book. You're listening to Catholic Baltimore, and this is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world from the Catholic Review. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta is set to be canonized September 4th in Rome, but the new saint has connections and followers in our region. In Baltimore, from the pictures of her that decorate the walls to the cup, plate, and flatware she used when she opened the place in 1992, the presence of Mother Teresa pervades the Gift of Hope, the home she established at St. Wenceslaus Parish for those afflicted with AIDS. Missionaries of Charity Sister Christy is one of four members of the order, founded by Blessed Teresa in 1950, who manage the Gift of Hope and care for its five residents, the majority of whom suffer from HIV. Blessed Teresa's sisters were and are poor themselves, following an example set by their foundress, and they fill their days at Gift of Hope with prayer and work. Eric James has spent several stretches of his life at the home since it opened. Influenced by the saint and her followers, he converted to Catholicism about 6 years ago. In late August, the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See launched an online exhibit documenting the deep ties Blessed Teresa had with the United States. "She had an impact on Americans," said Ken Hackett, the U.S. ambassador, who knew and worked with Blessed Teresa and the Missionaries of Charity when he served as president of Baltimore-based Catholic Relief Services, the Overseas Relief and Development Agency of the U.S. Bishops. The online exhibit, compiled to mark Blessed Teresa's canonization, was to debut August 26th on the embassy's website at va.usembassy.gov, as well as on its Facebook page. The site will include many items from her repeated trips to the United States. For full coverage of the canonization of St. Teresa of Calcutta, visit catholicreview.org for news, photos, videos from celebrations in Rome and around the world. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Christopher Gunty.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. We're talking today on Catholic Baltimore with Vince Clues, author of the book Water Walkers, about 39 people who moved from secular careers to sacred service. Let's talk a little bit about some of the people involved in the Catholic Church who featured in your book. You have a priest, religious sisters, a deacon, lay people, some of them from our own Archdiocese of Baltimore. Can you tell me about some of them, people like Nancy Krebs or Bill McCarthy?
Sure. Nancy was not a great leader. She's a composer, musician, composer, and performer. And Nancy, for instance, it wasn't a great leap. She was doing almost exclusively secular, but she did some sacred. And she just, it didn't take burning down her house. She realized that the Lord wanted her to just do sacred, and so that's all she does now. Mm-hmm. Father Farmer was a lawyer here in Baltimore, and he was in a law practice. And he went to a retreat. I think it was a retreat, but he went up to Mount St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. And as he was walking around there, he came to realize, all right, this is where I should be. This mm-hmm. is what I should be doing.
And he had quite a background as a in the judge advocate's office in the military.
Right.
I mean, he was a pretty solid lawyer. He was very pretty well entrenched.
Very highly regarded. Mm-hmm. Won an award. Not an award, but was received an award. Yeah, a citation mm-hmm. for his work. He worked as a public defender mm-hmm. and then with a law firm. So he was pretty well established in Baltimore, and mm-hmm. this was quite a shock to his friends, who weren't quite sure that he was staying sane.
Yeah,
but he did it.
I know Monsignor Farmer well, and he certainly is a very sane person. And
yes, he is.
He's certainly been very good for the service of the Lord.
Right. He was. He was one that I had this 10 questions I asked people to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've never met a lot of them. I sent it to them because I heard about them. They sent me the answers. I wrote a story based on those answers, mm-hmm. shared it with them, and we went back and forth a couple times mm-hmm. for the most part. But Father Farmer wrote one sentence answers to my questions.
That doesn't help you write a chapter, does it?
So I called him, and I went up and sat with him, and we did it orally. And mm-hmm. It's great. He's a great story in the book. A wonderful mm-hmm. story. Sister Ann Guinan, as I say, was a New York ad agency, you know, Madison Avenue, mm-hmm. and kept thinking at parties, these aren't the people I belong with. But she didn't know who she belonged with till she went on a cruise. And there were a group of Catholics on the cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to know them, and through them realized that the Lord was calling her.
Not everybody gets their revelation on a cruise.
Right, yes. two of the other locals, Norman Enlick is a music minister mm-hmm. out in Carroll County, and he was just moved into the music ministry. He was in music, but he was at the time, he was called the dean of Stevenson College, mm-hmm. or university as it is now.
Right.
And Bill McCarthy, Bill McCarthy's story is the last story in the book. Mm-hmm. And it's there because when you get to that story, you will unquestionably want to read more. Which I hope would become more water walkers, because there mm-hmm. are some more stories out there. And Bill, of course, lost his daughter. But that wasn't why he left his job as a banker.
Mm-hmm.
But it was being open, you know, it caused him, I guess, to really be open to what the Lord wanted him to do. And so now, of course, he's executive director of Catholic Charities here in Baltimore.
I remember when Bill came on board here at the Archdiocese with Catholic Charities, and you know, we said, well, what happened? How did this happen? And he said, a friend of mine realized the job was open, and they told me, this is where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
And he started thinking about it and praying about it and realized, yes, it was where he belonged. And so I think there's a sense that I get as I read the book, that a lot of these people come to that sense when they get to where they're supposed to be. They are now where they belong. There's a feeling of peace in some ways that overcomes them, a feeling of contentment, as you've been able to express in the book, that they are now finally really where the Lord has been calling them, sometimes for their whole life, but now they're finally where they're supposed to be.
Right. There are people in the book who felt called as children almost, everyone in the book is still doing, except there are two of them who've passed away,
mm-hmm.
are still doing what the Lord called them to do at the time, you know, I write about in the book.
Yeah, not everybody can leave their career and switch to a religious vocation, as it were, midstream, right? I mean, that's
right.
Just impossible
yes.
for everybody to do. But how can people who are working day to day be a little bit more in tune, just a little bit more in tune with what the Lord's calling them to do?
Well, obviously praying and being open to the Lord's voice. But I know people personally, and there are a couple in the book, who serve where they're planted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's remarkable. I mean, one of them in the book calls himself, he used to be a Christian, a corporate Christian now, he's a Christian. corporate person.
Right.
And it is just that switch, not necessarily to a new job, but to a new way of thinking about what you're doing and how you can serve the Lord in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great. You're talking about that in terms of being a corporate Christian or a Christian corporate person. How can people bring the presence of the Lord into their everyday situation, even if they stay in the secular world? What are some concrete ways they can bring the Lord into that situation?
Well, I think there's, once again, a continuum. Mm-hmm. You can bring the Lord into that situation by presenting yourself in such a manner that people want to know what it is about you.
Something good. I want some of that.
Right, yes. And the other way is that you can proselytize. I think that has to be done on a very cautious basis.
Mm-hmm.
there are people that I know, I don't think there's any in the book, who started that way. Simply, the Lord said, talk to this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do. And they speak to people they feel the Lord is asking them to speak to. And I've worked most of my career out. I never worked in the corporate environment,
mm-hmm.
unless you consider public television corporate, which I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never have been comfortable. I can't see myself being comfortable going up to somebody and saying, do you know the Lord? The man, the first guy in the book, David Davis,
mm-hmm.
who's a missionary in Israel, who was my roommate in college, met my wife for the first time recently because we haven't seen each other for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting waiting for him. He came into the room, walked over. My wife stood up. We both stood up and he looked at my wife, put his hand out, shook her hand, said, are you saved? So that's, you know.
Some people have the ability to do that.
Some people do. And,
the Archbishop Lurie just released this weekend an update on the pastoral planning process in the Archdiocese. And in that, one of the things he talked about was that in surveys done last fall in the parishes, about 30,000 people almost responded. And about 40% of them are really hesitant to share their faith with other people for risk of offending others. Is there a way around that? Is there a way that you can say, you can show your belief in the Lord and express that to people without kind of stepping on their toes and getting all up in their face?
Right. I you know, I don't believe you have to sit at your desk and read the Bible and pray. But once again, I know people personally who, by the way they practice their Christianity, just in their daily living,
mm-hmm.
make people want to say, what is it about you? What do you have I don't?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about as good a way as you can do it. I think if you're comfortable and you know that you won't offend somebody by sharing the Lord with them, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Lord leads you to, you better do it.
It's a good point. Well, tell us a little bit about where people can get this book.
The book is available on Amazon.
Okay.
It's not in bookstores. I hope it will be sometime. But right now it's available on Amazon. And if you type in, go to Amazon, type in Water Walkers, you may need to put /Vince Clues.
Okay.
Because there are these little things you put on your feet that help you walk comfortably in the water.
There you go.
They were there first.
So you probably need to look for Water Walkers book and Vince Clues, and that's spelled C-L-E-W-S, not clues like you would, like a detective would find. So look for it on Amazon, and we'll take it from there. We've been talking today with author Vince Clues about his book, Water Walkers. Thanks for joining us, Vince.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore from the Archdiocese of Baltimore.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.